Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. Good Morning Football podcast time. Nate Burleson laughing already. Love it.
How you doing, Kay? You good?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm really good.
Is that the real laugh? Kay accuses you of fake laughing sometimes, Nate.
Because I interchange them, so now I'm trying to throw you guys
he
off.
He does a good show business laugh.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Peter Schrager.
Hey, guys. I wasn't here last week, and I listened to the podcast. Apparently, I didn't say goodbye properly, so I'm going to say hello. Welcome.
Yeah, why didn't you say goodbye? I got several tweets backing us up.
I got caught. Yeah, I got caught in it. The Irish goodbye, they call it. I got caught in it, I guess. I was excited for Combine. At an early flight, I ran out of there, and Garofolo and I were, like, gossiping.
Garofolo swooped you away. He swooped, scooped, took you away.
Our gossip was not about football. It was like, who are you wearing?
The Irish goodbye? What?
That's what they call
Irish
it.
Irish exit.
Yeah. Nate, you did an Irish exit from a vacation once. You just left in the middle of a vacation.
You're right.
That's true. So and that's the voice of one, Kyle Brennan, who's alive, well, with us, not choking on any sort of food.
Not yet. This hummus, though. It's a little chunky, though. I don't know if it's going to go down smooth. They got a spread in front of us for the first time.
You were chugging milk earlier today.
Yep, that's right. We had the winner of the Indy 500, and he brought us big jugs of milk.
Like for show, I think.
Alexander Ross, for
well,
show.
If they were show, they wouldn't have been chilled, Peter. You weren't in the segment. They
I
were
don't
good.
Think they wanted us to drink them. I really don't.
I honestly was surprised you guys weren't drinking them.
Can
I thought
you,
they were
like
milk.
Kyle, can you eat anything? Think. I feel like you have, like, stomach of steel. Like,
yeah. I mean,
is there anything that gives you trouble?
No. I don't eat cottage cheese. That's about the only thing. It's disgusting.
Is it because
to me.
It's nasty?
Yeah, just as a kid. But I mean, pretty much anything. Yeah, of course. Nate, who are you telling? You're the guy. You rap about spaghetti.
Yeah.
So Peter wasn't here last week for the podcast because he was at the Combine in Indy. Guess who wasn't there? The three of us. So
nope.
Peter, sort of like take us on a tour of what
Ooh,
was.
Okay.
Especially those, what is it, backdoor meetings? What are they
back
called?
Back alley meetings.
Back alley meetings.
Mm-hmm. I actually discovered a restaurant in Indy. So it's like basically a little square and there's about 100 restaurants.
And Indy's great.
Indy's great. Everything is in like one block radius. And there's the stadium where all the stuff is going on with the players. But what really is going down at the Combine are conversations with NFL personnel, agents, and sometimes, you know, coaches and GMs are just, they're setting up shop. Like, who wants to talk to me? I'll make a calendar of it and make dates. So I tried to meet with as many people as possible. But I think what you guys will find interesting is the melting pot of different scenes. So the St. Elmo's is the steakhouse. Where this has been like the spot for like 20 years, but it's kind of like, I don't even know the equivalent, like a Peter Luger's in New York where it's mm-hmm. like everyone knows about it, but now like
In-N-Out Burger when you go to California,
yeah,
you gotta
like,
go hit it up, bro.
Exactly.
Like it's a younger, strange thing. It's St. Elmo's, it makes me think of Andrew McCarthy
sure,
and
St.
Jim
Elmo's
Nelson.
Fire.
It has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with Elmo. It is the St. Elmo Steakhouse right next to a very infamous hotel as well
yeah.
in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Shrimp cocktail.
Sure.
Gets
so
it.
Yeah, everyone gets it. And I almost want to say it's like the Luger's where it's like everyone's there, but now the younger generation is like, you know what? That's not our thing. Like mm-hmm. there's other spots. And there's another restaurant called Prime 47, which is about a block away on the corner, and that was the spot this year.
Is that a newer spot?
That is a newer spot. It used to be called Moe's. They changed it to Prime 47.
Better.
And there are a few different coaches that I don't think I should be – like that's the thing. Like it's a very interesting dynamic because now we're in a Twitter social media world where 5 years ago, like I would openly say like, oh, my God, let's go there. And I saw X, Y, Z, Z. Now it's like do not mention who's out where. Like
Snapchat.
Yeah.
Who was talking to who?
Who was talking – like you're right. not supposed to. I don't think – never were you supposed to. But now they're like – you know, I say this place, Prime 47, I'm probably going to get in trouble for even revealing the name of it because now next year someone listening is going to show up and say, hey, I saw the coach of the blanks at there drinking three beers and there's a photo on Facebook. And it's just crazy to see so many NFL people in such a small roped up area. And I would compare it to Super Bowl and say Super Bowl, you've got the marketing agents, you've got the network people, you've got the media, you got all this stuff. Combine is still pretty bare bones. So you can go out to St. Elmo's and I will tell you, I was upstairs and it was Dan Marino at one table, and it's this guy, you know, he's with the Dolphins organization, and it's this guy at this table, and it's this agent at another table, and it's pretty much bare bones, just football people. The fans didn't really come in as much as I expected, and the cameras and the lights and the marketing folks, they're not even there yet.
Which is great, and, you know, I could only assume, because I was just there as an athlete in 03, but what I've heard about the Combine is that there's a lot of wheeling and dealing conversations going on. And, you know, there's a lot of rules that guys abide by. But what I want to ask you is, what are the unwritten rules of how to act at the Combine?
Good call.
What are the unwritten rules of what to talk about after you leave the Combine?
Think about a holiday Christmas party for your office.
There we go.
Right? Don't be the drunkest one, because there were people who were drunk.
Yeah.
And people
get drunk. Don't be the drunkest.
Yes. Have a couple. Have
yes.
fun.
Don't yeah. be the drunkest one, because next morning on everyone else's text chains, they'll be saying, "Did you see this person?" It's a small world.
Yeah. Right.
We're in a small world. This little ecosystem we're in. That's one. Two. Control yourself to the point where you can do your job, because we're there for our job.
Right.
Now, I had to be up every morning right. at 4 a.m. for our show. So, like, I had some nights,
yeah.
but I would turn it down. Yeah. I would go a little inside. I would call it a night, or I would drink and Diet Cokes are my
you
favorite.
See, the world should see the grins on all of our faces. Mm-hmm. Like, uh-huh, yeah, you
right.
went to bed at a great time.
Yep.
I'm sure you read a book. Uh-huh, got
well,
your notes ready
it's
for
funny.
The show.
Thursday night, I had my night. I went out. I
right.
went out, had a good time. And I, you know, I was hanging out with, I'll just say who's at, like, this little corner here, but it was... Whether drinking or not, it was, you know, Sean McVay from the Rams, and then you had several different agents that were out, and then you had a few different NFL coaches, coordinators. It was a good scene.
It seemed so cool to me, man.
But at the NFL Network, you also had, like, Steve Smith was in the house, which was cool for me to meet him for the first time,
right?
And then you got Stephen Drummond, who's the PR guy from the Panthers, who knows Smitty from when he played there, so he's hanging with us. And you've got the Dolphins PR guy. Hey, you guys had Sam Young on the show. Like, it's a big melting pot, right? So I'm out there late. Late,
and you got to wake up early.
Late, and I get in whatever
an hour earlier than usual.
An hour, so I'm fresh. I'm feeling all right. I wake up. I'm like, all right, one more day. Let's do the show. And Bob Lang, who's the PR guy for the Niners, walks in and walks in John Lynch at 8 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "It's amazing that you're here right now." I'm like, "I wasn't drunk, Bob." He's like, "No, but I saw you at X a.m. and
yeah.
that's crazy that you're in the seat." And I'm like, "I was just networking, doing my thing.
And you got to do your job.
Got to do my job. I was fresh as ever. We had a good interview with John Lynch, but." You have to burn the candle both ends, because it's part of the job. Like, you have to network.
You hit that Steak and Shake late night, baby. Ooh, mama.
Let me ask you one more thing. Now, I know there's probably a certain amount of football that you can talk, and there's some that you would most likely stop yourself from talking about. Has there been guys that are too football? Like,
yes.
you know, has there been individuals where you're like, whoa, back up off the table.
Lighten up, man. My, how's your kids?
I think that's like, the balance. And you get a lot of media guys who, like, know the spots. All right, so, like, I'm a local beat reporter for, say, the Cardinals, and I'm not typically, you know, going to be going out to a bar till 2 in the morning, but I know that, you know, some coach or GM is going to be there, and I want to go. I'm going to post up, and I'm going to make that happen. So you have a lot of local beat reporters who know, like, this is an opportunity to talk to everyone, and it's not with the PR guy in between
right.
them. It's like the rare access, because you know where these coaches are going to be hanging, and you go, and then you see these interactions.
You got to have a smooth approach, though.
And it's not – and if you're a dude, like, going up to – Sean Payton or Bruce Arians, like, in a crowded bar.
They don't
what
want
are
it.
You, are you going to really talk about Calais Campbell? Like,
what are you doing with Brandon Cooks?
Yeah, so your best bet is introducing, being cool, trying to build a relationship.
Kick rocks.
Get out of there.
Right.
And then 2 years later, see him again. Hey, what's up? And this is a long-term investment, right? Or 2 months later.
You know how that goes.
You got to be doing
this. It takes a long time to develop relationships.
Trust.
Did you see Bill Belichick at all outside of the combine?
I did not.
Have you ever?
I have not.
Interesting.
So it's sort of interesting to see we saw, like, the softer side of him on the broadcast on NFL Network.
That was
so
cool.
I was wondering if maybe you saw him out.
I don't have that relationship with Belichick. I don't think I ever will, which is unfortunate, because I feel
like
I would get along.
Seeing him out anywhere.
He wouldn't be at the bar doing the kamikazes or even just talking like this. He wouldn't do
that. I don't think many Patriots are like – and it's
be in the hotel room.
Yeah.
By himself.
It's something against the teams that do have coaches that do. I've never seen really, like, the Patriot – presence out at the social scene.
Nate, because you brought up the point of the person at the office party who gets way too drunk and is obnoxious. There's also the person who's like, have a drink, lighten up. Why are you talking shop all the time?
Yeah.
Is there that person, you know, who's like, wants to just say, like, salary cap, trade.
And Nate just asked. Is the person
I know, but
yeah, but
I'm
I know
following
what you're
up because I want to hear more about this. Like,
I'm interested in
that
too.
Guy.
I do too. I want to know if he's there.
Because the image I get is, you know, sometimes you go to places and there's only a few cool kids at certain tables.
I don't
like,
want
to.
So
it's like going to a holiday party and the person just wants to talk about work.
But
exactly.
Right.
And I'm not a cool kid. I don't know.
No,
think,
Peter, but you say that, but your partner's NFL family, bro. And if you walk into a restaurant during the combine, every table is the cool kid table. So the question I have, I think Kyle's saying the same thing, is there like people bumping up to the table?
I think
it's
such a melting pot. It's not
like. I want to get with McVay. I want to sit with McVay. Is it competitive? Like, you get up and someone takes your spot?
Yeah, it is a little bit. There's a lot of people jockeying for position, and that's got to be unfortunate for all the coaches who are there. And it's not just McVay. There are like 20 coaches that are hanging out.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I would say this. So, like, Peter King to me is like an icon in the industry, right?
Sure.
To all of us.
He's in his 50s, 60s, whatever Peter is. Peter's out, and he's not necessarily drinking, but he's in a sweatshirt. He's hanging out, and he's being casual. Like, Vic Carucci. the Buffalo writer, legendary. Mm-hmm. Vic is out. Like, so it's not just the cool kids. It's everyone. But you don't have to necessarily be like, hey, let me get you a shot. Like, it's not like that.
Gil Brandt is out.
I didn't see Gil. I didn't see Gil, the godfather of the draft.
That's my man.
But what I'm saying is it's like everyone's in this little area. And it's so what I would do, and this is what I did, and I'm not trying to give my secrets away. If I've got contacts around the league, and I'd like to say at this point in my career, I've got contacts from most teams in the league, I like to find a spot off the beaten path during the day and say, let's get lunch, or let's get coffee. What's your schedule like? Let me just pick your brain for 20 minutes. And then you talk, you're talking ball. Like, but at night, that's for these guys to
unwind.
You
spring for lunch, huh?
I'll spring for lunch.
So during the day is when most of the actual football talk goes on, not just between you and your contacts, but between team to team?
Yeah, I think so. And team and agent.
Are GMs hanging out with GMs and going to lunch off the beaten path to discuss?
No, that stuff not as much. More the agents talking to the GMs. Is there one chance where they're all in the same place in person? So agents talk to GMs all day, but you know, we talk about the legal tampering period. So what they do is they have a list of free agents. They'll say, hey, I've got XYZ. What are your team needs? And that's that. It's kind of left there. Let's continue this conversation later. But this is their one opportunity to get in front of them and kind of do the whole state of the union. And I think for me as a media guy, the dance card was full because I want to hit as many teams as possible. And I can do it on the podiums in front of everybody, or I can do it off to the side. And they'll give me the time and give me 5 minutes to get Starbucks coffee and just discuss.
Are you buying them coffee?
Yes. And I'm not expensing that coffee. That's on me. That's a personal.
And you jump right into it. You buy the coffee. You hear the drink comes. You sit down. You say, "So you guys are gonna get a whiteout?" I mean, how do you get into it? It's that quick.
Well, I ask how the family's doing. I mean, hopefully there's a relationship. Or if it's the first time I'm meeting someone, hey, you know, I'll use it to my advantage. Say, hey, I'm on the sidelines with Fox. I'm on the NFL Network every day. You know, I'm interested in your team. I think you're a cool guy, or I think you're an interesting person. I love your story.
Heard a lot about you.
Everyone talks you up that you're an up and coming coach. Would love to hear, would love to introduce myself. Fine, let's get coffee. Da-da-da. It's almost like you're dating someone.
It's so fascinating.
If anybody knows Schrager, Schrager loves the background story. Yes. Everyone, you always do your homework, so I bet that really, you're genuinely excited to learn about somebody's background.
Yes, absolutely. And I also
watched
the game.
The first thing I noticed about you before I met you, a year before I met you listening to your podcast, it was never really super heavy.
I care more about the character.
But I learned the biography of every person you had come on your podcast.
I love that.
Which I loved.
And I love that too. And to me, that's where you kind of appeal to these guys. That it's more than just what you can give me. I can give you this. I'm interested in your career.
Yeah.
You know, and I can help in any way as far as giving you information or hearing what I'm hearing from other teams or whatever it is. Look, at the end of the day, we're all just people trying to survive in a very cutthroat industry. So I think if media can help out the coaches in any way with just being friendly, or the coaches can help us out, it goes a long way in making better content.
And we're going to get into free agency here in a minute. But anybody stand out at the combine you guys want to talk about going into it? I think quarterbacks and maybe Christian McCaffrey are the two that we should hit right now. So Kaiser, in your first mock draft that you did, Peter, you had him going pretty early ahead of all the other quarterbacks in the game. Not that any of them really have stood out, but he certainly didn't impress the most among that.
That Watson, the kid from Clemson, had the best combine, but Kaiser could still go second overall. There was no clear-cut definition on the quarterback position. This guy is going to be the first quarterback taken. Now, Watson did the best for himself because he showed he could throw a certain way. We can get into all that, but it's an interesting, and I had a lot of conversations at the combine about this, why I think this might be even more interesting than a year where it's Jameis Winston or Andrew Luck. It's you've got four different characters. You've got the white kid Trubisky, right? There's one white kid. It's this dude Trubisky, the great white hope. He's the standard 6'4", big arm, or 6'2", whatever
looks
it is. Looks the part. Funny thing is, he might be the most athletic out of all of them. But it's just, if you're doing a drawing.
4'7", right?
4'7". But if you're doing a drawing, you've got that guy in one quadrant. The other quadrant is Watson, who is the career winner in college, who has questions about how good he really is. Because of accuracy, right? So he threw 32 interceptions. Then in your bottom left quadrant, you've got Kaiser, who was at the high school recruit that everyone wanted and is just 21 years old and 6'5" and looks the part and went to Notre Dame.
Yeah, but he lost to Navy.
But he lost to Duke and Navy. And then in the bottom right, you have this wild card, Mahomes, who put up video game numbers in college but did it in a video game system under Cliff Kingsbury out in Texas Tech, where they don't run a traditional offense. So four very different archetypes.
It's like the Brady Bunch.
It is. And it's which team is going to go where? And right now, they're kind of flat. So Watson did the best to kind of confirm that he is a first-round pick, and I think that was a big takeaway.
First-round pick, to start next year? No, these are all, backups, right?
We don't know. It's tough because if you're taking someone in the first round, a GM only has a short shelf life. Let's see the guy.
Yeah.
The last time a quarterback was taken in the first round and did not see the field his first year was Jake Locker, and that was back in 2010.
Out of Washington, yeah.
Well, here's the thing. What's crazy about this, last year that could have easily been Carson Wentz and Jared Goff. Jared Goff didn't see the field for a majority of the season, and then Carson Wentz, some would say he got on the field because of the injury to Teddy Bridgewater, which ended up shipping Sam Bradford to the Minnesota Vikings. So we're saying we would love to see these rookies play right away, but you remember last year over the summer right before the season, neither of the guys that were drafted 1 and 2 were on our radar as starting quarterbacks.
I don't want to see them right away, especially when you don't have a standout here in the first round. But if you look at what's going on in our league, where we're talking about some of the quarterbacks we're talking about in free agency, these quarterbacks might get a shot.
I love rookies being thrown in the flame. Yeah, I do.
I think it's interesting what you're saying.
Where'd you stand with Manziel?
I wanted him to play. I loved Hoyer, and I knew that Hoyer
– And you were in camp with him.
He won the job. So I was a supporter of Hoyer because if I were to stay on the roster, I would want to play with a guy who's more consistent. But there was such a huge part of me that would have loved to see Johnny Manziel live on game day because he's so electric. And, you know, it's the crash and burn effect. And, you know, I'm a guy that has benefited off of this game, I'm also a fan of the game. So, you know, I love talking about basketball all the time.
You want to see him out there.
Young guys. I missed the days of guys being drafted out of high school to the NBA.
Kobe,
because you just never know what's going to happen.
LeBron.
And it's the same way with these young quarterbacks. We were like, where's Goff? Play Goff. Hey, Jets, what do we got there? Let's see what we have.
Let's at least see Hackenberg.
And it took a long time. I like what you're saying is that, like, that it's a four-man race. Because we've seen the two-man so many times, like Leaf and Manny and Mariota and Jameis. I can't remember a time when it's that many that, like, we have no idea where these guys are going to go.
And they're going to go in the first round, Kyle. So when Mike Mayock's on there saying, I don't really see a first-round talent, that's okay to me. That's fun. That makes it more interesting. That makes it a reality show. Like, right. So go get it.
There's a lot of mystery, right?
Yes.
Myles Garrett seems like the number one, but after that, who the hell knows?
Exactly. And
that's why I like this Mahomes character, because he's last, and I love rooting for the underdog. And like Nate, there's something about his he's just like relentless.
Yes.
And reckless. And it's kind of awesome and fun to watch.
So Daniel Jeremiah and I were talking, and he said, it might come off, you know, how it sounds, but he's like, doesn't it feel like you're watching with some of the other quarterbacks in the NBA, and with him you're watching a little bit of like the street ball, like the and-one mixtape? Because Mahomes is so crafty and so innovative, and the Cliff Kingsbury offense is silly. It's 7-on-7. It's Steve Nash.
You like Steve Nash.
It's skip to my Lou.
It's white chocolate. Yeah, it's all that.
So does it fit? Because it's almost like apples and oranges. So to your point with Mahomes, everyone's like, whoa, he can fling the ball. And wow, he's got a great body. And he's athletic. But I don't know if that works in the NFL. So careless and so reckless.
It's like grab a dry erase marker, go up to the whiteboard, show them that you can do it, that it works.
He had some throws.
And maybe he did that.
During the throwing period that looked really good. Really good.
77 touchdowns in 2 years at college.
It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm.
But then it's like people say, all right, so Colt Brennan
and,
you know,
Graham Harrell.
In Hawaii. Yeah. What was it?
Timmy Chang
Colt Brennan in Hawaii.
Yeah,
those guys
Timmy Chang.
They light up 300 touchdowns a week, and it's like then you never hear about them again.
No, BJ right. Simons.
Remember Timmy Chang?
Yeah, I remember Timmy Chang. He's supposed to be the greatest of all time.
Ever. But that
now
he
they
gets
have
some
their pro days, though, which can also help or hurt them.
Yeah, I only think hurt. That gets weird. I've been to a bunch of these pro days, and everyone comes up and he threw the ball about 60 of 62 to his receivers.
But that's like an orchestrated like play, right?
Like that's your wedding thing. Yeah. That's your wedding proposal thing. It's
pro
the
day?
Ultimate. Way
you
more than the combine.
Choose what you want.
It's like you're with your wide receiver that you've played for 4 years, or you're orchestrating something. You're not really. Like, it's crazy.
But it can go.
You're where
wrong.
You want it with your receivers on the field you
want
with
you
your
want,
coach, the music.
Snacks.
Remember Manziel's?
Yeah, Drake. Yeah.
George H.W. Bush was there. He wore camouflage shorts and shoulder pads. Like, that was his party, how he wanted it. So you're
it's
right.
You
Kate.
At your absolute best. I'm not a. Yeah, I don't know about that.
It should be an ambush workout. You're walking down the street, throw
it's
now.
It's clearly weighted a lot less than the combine, no?
Yeah, but you're also doing a lot of pressure here because you see on the sidelines while you're throwing. You've got Hugh Jackson staring at you, and he's got the number one pick and $45 million in his hands, and he's staring at you while you throw. At the combine, everyone's in the stands. It's a bunch of like, it's almost like an empty feeling. Here, it's on top of you, and they're all in your house. So Hugh Jackson's making the trip to Texas Tech to watch you.
Yeah.
He got on a plane. He stayed in Lubbock last night. What are you going to do in this situation? Now, Teddy Bridgewater is a very interesting case because Bridgewater, I'm going to get it wrong probably, but I believe Bridgewater always wore gloves in college at Louisville, and then he shows up to his pro day without the gloves.
Because the gloves were supposed to be a red flag or something. Like,
so he shows
like,
up, and he did not throw well, and everyone's like, well, what was that? Like, he didn't throw well in his pro day. What's he going to do when the Packers are breathing down his neck? And he slipped to 32, and a lot of the reason was, and then he said, I'll never not wear gloves again. It was like a whole thing. You can screw it up. It's such an easy day. You can screw it up by not performing on the day that you're supposed to be at your best.
Yeah, and we love, obviously, John Ross, beating a record. He's a human cheetah. Loved that. But Christian McCaffrey at the running back spot was somebody that you were really intrigued by. Actually, both of you, Nate and Kyle.
Yeah, big time.
And really impressed.
I'm a big fan.
He was awesome.
I'm a big fan of his. I've been watching him for quite some time. I'm a big fan of his family. I mean, I don't know how many siblings there is, but I know he has a younger brother that's like dynamic and playing well and is going to be a college standout and probably an NFL star. But watching him in college, especially a couple years ago when he was up for the Heisman, I remember thinking to myself, man, that running back out of Stanford is good. And then I saw his last name. I said, oh, he comes from a lineage. Like, that's Ed McCaffrey's son. And being a receiver, I know who that is. And then just seeing him break guys off, he had the breakaway speed. He's catching out the backfield, shaking guys.
And he's a white guy.
Agile.
And
there you go. That was the last thing I was going to mention. Because I didn't want to mention that first, but that was the last thing I was going to mention. He's a white guy. And going into this combine, here's the thing. At running back position, and Kyle, you can talk about this a little bit more.
Sure.
He's going to hear a lot of things that complement his game, but they will always be followed by, he's a white guy. Because – African-Americans, they dominate the skill positions. They have for a long time. It's just, you know, I'm not going to get into the genetic code, but, you know, when a guy plays wide receiver, DB, being able to run, jump, do all the little things that make us agile at that position, we're good at those things. So when a white guy comes along and plays cornerback, or he even plays, you know, running back, tight ends, they still kind of, you know, they're still dominant in that position. It's shocking. So when he went to this combine, I'm pretty sure there was a lot of questions hanging over his head. You know, how agile is he? How quick is he?
And then the first day, you put him on the bench press, which it was like, let's see what you can do, and he only did it 10
times. I'm not worried about that.
But I'm saying, after that, that's more pressure, too, compared to the other running backs, and he crushed it the next day.
It's just, jumping, he did 37. And, you know,
37's great.
We're fans of the movie White Man Can't Jump.
Yeah, see, Billy Hoyle, he dunked it at the end.
It's like, and then he goes out there, he runs the fastest, like, three-cone, the second fastest time since they've been recording it. He confirmed what I thought he was, which is a dynamic college player and a guy that can come into the league and play right now. I believe he can play right now.
I do too. And I played running back for 10 years. I am a white guy. If you've never seen the show, I'm a white guy. And there's a story that always stuck with me. Coming out of high school, I was getting recruited to play college ball. You know how it is. You get all the letters. Some of them are serious.
I don't know how it is. It sounds great.
Look, if you ever score a touchdown in a high school game, you'll get letters. It doesn't matter what it is. You could be the tackle eligible. You get on a list. You're in the newspaper. You get letters. So, you know, you get 300 letters. I was a very good but not elite high school player. So I'm getting recruited. I'm getting some love from the Big Ten. Like fringe. Think of the lower end Big Ten programs at the time. And there was one that I really wanted to go to. And I'm not going to mention what it is because at one point I went for a visit and I watched practice. I got to sit in with a film session with the position group, the running back position group. And I'm talking to the running back coach and I said, you know, what, do you think I have a shot? Like, could I ever be here? Like, is this, could I ever make the team here? Could I ever get a ride? And he said, well, we looked at your tape. And he's like, listen, I'm just going to be honest with you, and this stays in this room, you're going to be up against it for a lot of reasons and not just football. And I was like, what do you mean? I'm a good student. You know, I have no problems, like, off the field. I come from a good family. And he goes, look, you play running back, and running back, it's a black position. And he literally used that phrase on me.
Wow. I've never heard this story.
And he says, stays in there, says it's a black position.
How did you feel when you heard that?
Well, I was 17, and I was angry at first because I said,
I'm angry now.
I am too. And I said, what do you mean a black position? Like, and I started saying, I'm like, oh, you know, Mike Allstott's from Joliet Catholic. Like, it's another high school in Chicago. He's incredible. And he says, I know what you're saying, and I'm just shooting you straight. I'm just being real with you. That's how coaches look at tape. That's how.
Honest.
And it was very honest. And I said, listen, if I have my 40 times isn't good enough, if I don't have enough touchdowns, I get it. But just because I'm a white guy, he's like, and he just kept saying, I'm just being honest with you. This stays here. I'm just being honest with you. This stays here. That's why I'm not saying the name of the program. So I've always had a chip on my shoulder about that. So I look at McCaffrey. And you look at someone, Nate, you said some of his family history. It's not just his dad. His grandfather was an Olympic sprinter in the 100 meter. His brother, his uncle played basketball at Duke, which is almost impossible. It's like a made-up family. And so to hear that, especially now, is annoying to me because, Nate, you and I were talking. And you and I, what I appreciate, we all do, really, we talk very openly about race. And we joke about white guys and black guys and stuff, which I feel comfortable doing that with you likewise. We were saying if Christian McCaffrey was a black dude, I think there is much less doubt. I think he gets drafted higher, especially before the combine. I mean, I compared him to Warrick Dunn. Everyone's saying, you know, he's a slot guy. No, like, he's Warrick Dunn, but he's bigger and he's stronger. So going back autobiographically for me and now watching it unfold, it's still frustrating to see, and I know you're seeing it too.
Yeah, 100%. We talked right before we started this podcast that if he can come out and, you know, add on to what he did at the combine and play well his rookie year, even his second year, he can redefine what it means to be a white running back.
He's Jordy Nelson at running back, right?
He is. He's Jordy Nelson.
Jordy gets those questions his whole career. He's still, at this point, he like shakes his head about it. But coming up, he would get asked about race all the time. 100%.
You know, but it's crazy you mentioned that because those stories happen all the time. And there's plenty of white guys that play cornerback and running back and were getting recruited, and then they heard that same thing. And probably more frustrating, some guys didn't get that conversation. Mm-hmm. They just didn't get the letter.
I don't think there's a lot of white guys in the NFL playing cornerback anymore. I think Jason Sehorn, Scott Case.
Might have been the last one.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of one.
I can't think
That's
of
hard
one.
To swallow Sehorn. At 17, but hearing that story, I've never heard that story before. I can appreciate a coach that tells you straight up.
Like I'd rather hear it. I said, it looks like I'm going to go to the Mac. And I guess it didn't work out there either. And let the record show, maybe I wasn't a good enough player. I'm saying I wasn't a good player. It's not the reason I didn't go. Just for him to admit that freely to a high school kid. I mean, how many did you say that to? I wonder. That was kind of pissed me off.
Yeah.
Wow.
Deep stuff, man.
I've never heard that story. I can't believe you never told us that story.
It's never come up, like the white running back thing. I don't know. I just and I would tell my mom, and she was really mad about it.
I get to sit next to you for 3 hours a day, so every time McCaffrey tape or highlights or combine coverage comes on the tape, you light up, Kyle.
I do.
Like, you are very excited. I think you're rooting for him.
Well, it's just good running backs. He does the same thing for Fournette and Cook.
I know your point. And I do. I love the running back position. It's my favorite position. If you watch rock bands and you love the bassist, that's your thing. My thing is the running back. I love that. But I like McCaffrey in the sense that I hope he changes opinions and he lowers the prejudices and things like that.
Absolutely.
That's why I'm rooting for 100%.
And on top of that, spinning it forward, okay, this young man can play right now. He can come in the league and be a guy that can play in between the tackles. People say, well, what about the bench press? He's not going to be out there bench pressing individuals. Like, that doesn't happen a lot on the football field if you're a running back. Can he pick up the blitz? Can he catch out the backfield? Can he play in between the tackles? He can do all three. Oh, and guess what?
Picking up the blitz, though. I mean, what if a linebacker comes and he can only bench press
him.
9 times?
Cut him. I've seen running backs that can't bench press, but they're very good at cutting. And they never have to hold a guy.
Little guys like Westbrook can pass block all day. I mean,
listen, and
I hear what you're saying.
And then there's that X factor. He jumped to 37. Like, I mean, come on, man. White, black, or not, you jumping to 37, you're automatically walking into the field, and you're more athletic than most of the guys there. So –
annoying to me to hear that, be like, he's got to go to the Patriots. Because, like, they have a bunch of white guys. You know, like, they had Woodhead, and they have Amendola, and they have Edelman, they have Hogan. Like, he doesn't need to go to the Patriots.
I don't say
anywhere.
That. If I say he's going to the Patriots, I would like to say that because he probably would be even better than he was at Stanford.
Right.
But I want to see him anywhere. I honestly believe he can get drafted by 32 teams and start on 32 teams. Not be a full-time three-down back starter. But he's going to be a guy that will play 30 snaps a game, catch 5 balls out the backfield, play in between the tackles, and then you can put him in the red zone. He'll get in the end zone.
Combine's over. Let's talk free agency, guys.
Let's do it.
We're talking
running
backs. Draft class, super deep. McCaffrey among them. We're looking at free agency. Quarterbacks, I mean, we went through a list on Good Morning Football and NFL Network, and it's not sexy. I'm going to go ahead and say, I mean, is it?
No, okay, it's not sexy at all because it's Josh McCown and it's Brian Hoyer. And now, as of today, we're recording this on Tuesday.
It might
these are the
get
guys
sexy,
are free
though, because it might get
exactly
Romo-y.
Right.
It might get Cutlery here real quick.
It might put on that dress and get sexed up in those heels. No, you're right. It might get Cutlery. It might get Romy. RG3E is even sexier than we talked about this morning.
Could get Manzelli. Who
could
knows?
Get a little Manzelli.
Could get Kaepernickishian.
Kaepernickishian.
Here's the thing. If you're looking at these guys, the 5 teams that have the most cap space are the ones you want to watch the next few days. If you're listening to our podcast this week, which is the start of free agency, we're a couple hours before Terry. But the Browns, the Niners, the Jaguars, the Buccaneers, and the Titans have the 5 most by a long slide. So I would think those teams, through fear of not getting anything, will be the most active early on. And you're going to hear those 5 teams. So then you start plugging in players and saying, well, who makes sense? Who makes sense? The next few hours, and we're doing this at 10 a.m. in the morning on the East Coast, it's going to be a flurry of action. Then there might be a little wait, and then you're going to have some more. So just pace yourself this week with free agency.
So which position is going to have the most going on this week?
That's a good question.
QB?
I think wide receiver off the bat. And I think cornerback right off the bat.
Because that seems like the easiest, right? Wide receiver. Like quarterback, there's got to be these things that sort of fall into place. Is it like – so what's the first – You said that about somebody this week, and I'm trying to remember who it was.
I said Glennon was going to be the first.
You still think that?
Yes.
Okay.
Peter, when did Glennon turn into Peyton Manning? I'm not joking.
Him and Hoyer seem
to be
like.
I'm confused, and I'm not knocking Glennon at all, but I'm right there with you, Kyle.
I mean,
like,
look, he's 5-13.
His name started popping up, and I'm thinking, like, what? He's going to be the top quarterback off the board. He's going to make, what, 14, 15 million?
Osweiler, I almost get. He's very tall, very strong. He went and beat the Patriots the year before, and then he got the contract.
He was part of the ring.
Right.
Glennon went into Pittsburgh and beat beat the Steelers a couple years ago.
Oh, we haven't seen much out of Glenn and stuff.
You haven't. You haven't seen him in 2 years.
And you're not the hype man. I understand. You just have information. So we want to know. This seems the whole league is ready to pay Glenn millions of dollars.
I did about 7 Buccaneers games this year. And every time you walk in there, everyone says, oh, you know, Team X wants Glennon and Glennon and Glennon and Glennon. And then you watch him in warm-ups and you're like, all right. I mean, it's I'm not a quarterback guru. I'm not Kurt Warner or David Carr on the network talking about it. I can tell you, though. He's got now 4 years under his belt. He's 6'7". He's started in the NFL. People like the way he throws. He's the ultimate teammate. He's a lot better option than going to a rookie that you're not sure about. So if a team needs to just kind of get something to get going, they're willing to take a risk on Mike Glennon. He's a great kid. He's been well coached by Bajakian and by Dirk Cutter. Teams are willing to say that he's just been not given the opportunity.
What's his career record?
Teams are 5-13. Forced to go that way because there's not a standout in the draft class.
He's 5-13.
5-13. And he could possibly make $14 million a year?
Yep.
See, he was given a chance, though. He was given a chance in Tampa, and he wasn't good enough, right?
They drafted Jameis. They had the worst
looking
record.
Looking in April's eyes right now is pretty fun.
They are 1-15, and they said, we can't pass on Jameis Winston. It wasn't a slight on Mike Glennon. It was Jameis Winston's a once-in-a-generation quarterback for this team. We have to take him.
You have to make moves, right? We all hear from everybody in the league. You want to keep your job as a GM or a quarterback. I mean, you've got to make moves at the quarterback spot. Find your guy or be relentless in that pursuit and go big or go home. I mean, I'm a Bears fan. I'm not – I don't know. I'd almost rather keep Cutler for another year as a fan, but I don't think they can do that because they have to make some sort of move.
Yeah, I think he's trying to mix it up. Like, it hasn't worked, right? So here we are. He's entering the third year as a GM, and 2 years in a row, Cutler was the starting quarterback week one, and they went 6-10 and 4-12. So why would I roll out Cutler again? Let's mix it up. Let's change things.
Here's what you do. If you want to go big or go home, call Bill Belichick. All of you teams. Browns.
No, they are.
Everybody, give him what he wants. Give him what he wants.
So the
Get
Bears
Garoppolo.
Have the third overall pick. I think it's worth the third overall pick.
So yes, 100%
I do.
100%. But I think Glennon has more experience than Garoppolo on the field. So what's your point?
But like, what have you done for me lately? Garoppolo came on the field this year and won games and looked really good.
We're playing
good.
Devil's advocate, Peter. We're not hating Glennon right now. It's just we're talking as a fan. So
I like
you
it.
Said Glennon has more experience than Garoppolo. Glennon's 5-13.
Yes, and Garoppolo's,
is that a ringing endorsement
Garoppolo's
for $15
million? 1-0 and got injured in his second game. He's 1-0. He beat one game in Arizona.
But he looked nice, though.
In Arizona on a Sunday night. They won 19-16 and Blunt ran.
And you're pulling him.
All the pressure of the world was looking at Jimmy Garoppolo
but you're pulling
at the start
him,
of that game,
right.
Going up against what was a tough defense opening the season.
I know.
And you're pulling him from the garden of the Patriots. You know, it's different when you're pulling guys from different teams and organizations.
It's a devil's advocate. Does Jeremy
Garoppolo
do that without the Patriots garden? I mean,
we don't know. We don't know. But I think sometimes it's perception.
Tom Brady forever. He's
Yeah. So did Kevin O'Connell. So did, you know, so did
Ryan Mallett.
He's got 1 year left on his deal, Peter. What's the point in keeping him when he's going to be a free agent?
Oh, I'm all for them trading. It's very interesting they're not, especially when you have Brissett, who has shown that he can play. It's interesting that and I know the report that came out, and I think it might have been Schefter, so I would never question Adam, but he was saying that they're not interested in trading him. Well, no, they're not interested in trading him, but if you do throw 4 first-round picks.
Tom Curran, Comcast Sports, said somebody blows the doors off them, they will do it.
Yeah, he put that term out there. It basically means, yes, they are considering trading him. So, to me, if you're the Browns and you've got that first overall pick, it's not crazy to trade him for Jimmy Garoppolo if you think he's the answer. If you're the Niners, second overall pick, it's not crazy. If you're the Bears,
that.
The third pick,
I love
it's
that
not
too.
Crazy.
So if they could ultimately the Browns get Myles Garrett in the first with the first pick and then if traded their second overall pick for Jimmy Garoppolo and
trade
they
the
have,
number 12 like because they what the one and the 12
they have the one and the 12
yeah but the 12 might not be a high enough price for Garoppolo
know,
right see
that's
worth crazy
Garoppolo.
It's a but good then pick
again, so here's the God forbid moment Patriots Brady somehow does go down
okay you go to Jacoby.
Okay, if you're comfortable with that, then yes, you can trade Garoppolo. If you know, if you're the Patriots and you're Belichick and you're McDaniels and you watch them every day and you know that Garoppolo's much better backup option than Brissett, then you can't trade Garoppolo. They're looking to win championships. They're not
Jacoby looked like
assets.
A Hall of Famer when he got in the game.
He was running the option. So what if you have –
if Brissett's not your guy and it is Garoppolo, trade Brissett.
I don't know if he's got a market.
I know.
But what if Brissett's out there and he has Brandon Marshall to throw to?
This is all
and Gronk.
This is the fun of free agency.
Like, and would you rather Adrian Peterson?
Would you rather? This is. I feel like I'm in high school. Would you rather?
Go on.
Would you rather?
Would you rather have Tyrod Taylor or Jimmy Garoppolo?
Garoppolo.
I think you. Why?
In what jersey? What are we talking?
Just in general. Taylor.
Say you're okay. Let's say.
I think we've seen the best from Tyrod. I feel like.
How
we
can
got
you
shot.
Say that? Look at the situation he's in. And he is a hurt receiver most of his career.
He's like one
Watkins.
Of the best running backs in the league, and he's had a couple of years to play. And like, I feel like Tyrod. He's good. He's good. He's a good quarterback. I think Garoppolo could be a great quarterback.
You put Garoppolo in Buffalo under the same circumstance, and he would have performed so much better than what Tyrod did.
I think so. I like Garoppolo. I like Garoppolo. Okay, you want Garoppolo in Chicago. You must
love him. I do, but I don't. But
would you rather Tyrod in Chicago or Garoppolo?
In Chicago?
Ooh.
Oh, I don't know. What
would you rather Mike Glennon, Tyrod, or Garoppolo?
Not Glennon.
I'll go Tyrod.
Glennon.
I think Tyrod's a more experienced guy.
I like the fact that he can run the ball, because when things break down, you need a quarterback that can get out of there in a new offense.
This is why it's so fun for agency, because it's all hypothetical and you can't say that's stupid.
That's exactly what it is. Sure. It's hypothetical, which is why this is so exciting.
Ian Rappaport, who I respect, came out Friday night and said he's hearing rumor that there's a chance that Tony Romo is traded to the Redskins, that Kirk Cousins traded to the Niners, and the Dallas Cowboys get picks from both teams.
Mm-hmm.
If you, I mean, whether true or not, whether that I'm saying, not,
I feel like
not
the Cowboys
that,
win in a situation.
Not that his,
but
whether that's going to happen or not, I'm not saying it's not true. Obviously, Ian would never report if he didn't hear something along those lines. If you told me that a week ago, I'd say that's the stupidest trade. That's a fantasy football trade. It doesn't happen. But in the NFL, with the way it is and with the things that we've seen, Adrian Peterson can get cut.
I hope it happens.
Peyton Manning can get cut.
I want splash to happen. Free agency for me.
Something to talk about.
I want a headline that shakes the whole
thing. The Patriots trade Tom Brady.
That's not going to happen. But I want something like that.
Yeah.
I want just that big, like, blockbuster deal done. And you're like, what? Is going on.
All right, let me ask
you.
We're
here talking about Terrell Pryor probably re-signing with Cleveland. That makes the most sense. Hugh Jackson, Raiders, Browns, we get it. Nate is like, no.
Mm-mm.
I need to see Terrell Pryor go somewhere. I need to see him a big move.
If he goes to the Patriots, he'll
move.
Be a Pro Bowler at wide receiver.
But with what, 13 receptions? How many passes can they throw to him?
I think he'll score like 9 touchdowns. And when you get 9 to 10 touchdowns in a Patriots, you know, he's such a mismatch problem. Imagine Gronk and Terrell Pryor on opposite sides in the red zone.
And then
zone.
What do you do with Hogan and Edelman?
You put them in the slot. The question is, what does the defense do when they line up against that?
They have Malcolm Mitchell.
Okay,
see, I just did that. Hey.
They have Malcolm Mitchell. They have Amendola. They have Gronk. They have Bennett. I mean, they might lose Bennett, but you know what I mean.
They're going to lose Bennett, right? Yeah. It seems to write down the walls there.
Yeah. I think so you had an interesting list today, Nate, and I want to hit it because you're a receiver, and it's not the best players in the NFL. It's like 5 intriguing free agents, and you had Terrell Pryor above DeSean Jackson and above – Garcon and some of these guys. So you're really all in on Terrell Pryor. I didn't know that.
I'm all the way in. And I wasn't. I wasn't previous to this. I remember playing against him when he was in Oakland in the preseason game.
Quarterback.
And he's out there lighting us up. And I remember looking at my teammates, Calvin Johnson. I'm thinking, man, this dude seems like the best quarterback in all of football. Like, forget like a project at quarterback. No, he's legit. And then he gets cut. And he disappears for a minute. He comes back and says he wants to play by receiver. Then he starts working. And I was the guy that said, it's too late. There's no way you can change positions this late in the game.
4 years in.
Like, what are you doing? You've been playing quarterback your whole life. Nobody can do it at this high level. He put his head down, worked his butt off, and now he's a guy that can say, I put up 1,000 yards in the NFL, which is so hard to do. And he did that with a team that had a carousel of quarterbacks. So you put up 1,000 yards – and your team isn't that good. You guys win one game. Your quarterbacks are in and out. You don't have any consistency. You go somewhere where there's consistency within the offense, a quarterback that knows you and is throwing you the ball, and he's continuing to grow. If he did this within a 2-year period, changing positions, what's going to happen with another offense?
You're saying the best is yet to come. Why does Pac-Man think he's garbage? And he jokes about it, but the DBs hate him. And he does. He thinks he's garbage.
To be honest, I think
Janoris Jenkins
and Pac-Man.
I kind of
like that.
Because
I like that they don't like him.
They realize that they just let a quarterback put up 1,000 yards in the NFL. And
don't you tip the hat then? Holy crap. That's a
quarterback.
You do
tip that.
But
think about the guys that said it. Though.
Yeah,
Pac-Man Jones is notorious for talking. And, you know, I love Pac-Man, but he's a talker.
Yeah.
Janoris Jenkins, notorious for talking.
Big time.
All these guys see him as a quarterback. And if he puts up 1,000 yards, even if he didn't have big games against these guys, it's a direct reflection of the talent level at the cornerback position in the NFL. So they're offended. That's like a dude changing positions, a quarterback going and playing DB, and he ends up, you know.
3 picks in the game.
Yeah,
right?
And he's a Pro Bowler, and everybody's like, how you feel
That's
about – you know, how do you feel about Tyrod Taylor playing cornerback? And I'm like, oh, he's all right. Like, he's not the best corner. Like, I'll get defensive right away. I think these guys are just defensive.
Is
like,
he
give
a trash talker?
Credit.
Did somebody tell us that?
Yeah. I think he talks. He's got a little ego about him. Big Ohio State superstar. Yes.
But you look at him, and everyone's talking about Alshon Jeffrey being the splashy name, a guy who couldn't make it, who didn't perform as a number one when Brandon Marshall left the Bears with a good quarterback, maybe not the best situation in Chicago. But we're talking about him getting all of the dollars and maybe breaking the market or doing whatever. Like, Terrell Pryor, upside.
Yeah. Jeffrey has more of a track record of doing it, right? He had a couple big years when Marshall
was there.
His first
year, he went to the Pro Bowl with Brandon Marshall.
Yeah.
He bounced and he got suspended. If you're a GM, who would you rather go for?
I think Jeffrey, just because his whole career, he's been a wide receiver since South Carolina, and I feel like, let me get my hands on him. Like, the Bears situation, like, that could have just run its course. Or the Bears bring him back. I'm not so sure he leaves. I just don't think the Bears are willing to pay him that much money. I don't know what the market is on Jeffrey. I think Jeffrey does make the most out of all these guys, but I think Deshaun is number two, and I think Pryor.
It's like, how can you give Alshon Jeffrey?
I know.
How can you give him more money than Deshaun Jackson?
Age. Yep. Jeffrey's like 26, 27.
I'm reminded of Jeffrey. I'm reminded of Scottie Pippen because we talked about this. Him and Brandon Marshall are the Jordan and Pippen of the passing game, okay?
For 1 year.
For 1 year. Then Marshall leaves. So it's like when Jordan went to play for the Birmingham Barons. It's like, all right, Scottie, you want to be the man? It's you and Tony Kukoc and BJ out there. What are you going to do? He couldn't do it. He refused to enter a game. Bill Cartwright's yelling at him on the bench. Get in there. He refuses to enter the game because Phil Jackson draws up a play for Tony Kukoc. Tony Kukoc hit the shot, by the way.
Friday night game.
Exactly right. And I'm thinking of him. That's Alshon.
Croatian sensation.
Croatian sensation. Great passing game. But that reminds me of Alshon with the Chicago thing tied together. This was your year. Go be Jordan. And he, I mean, he was Horace. He was Horace if Horace got a PED suspension.
He's a number one.
He was Horace in Orlando.
Yes, with the blue goggles.
How is he number one in the league?
Because there's 32 teams, and there's a lot of teams with crap receivers. Like, he's a number one. Like,
he's a big guy. He's a big skill guy.
The Eagles, the Titans, all these teams, if they sign him, he's their number one. Like that.
But if you sign Terrell Pryor for a smaller price tag, you also have a number one.
He's not a number one.
I don't know if Terrell Pryor is a number one.
He's a compliment guy.
But you're
a guy who put up 1,000 yards with the carousel quarterbacks.
Yeah, but he's not a number one yet. I give him another year. He has to prove that he can do it, the route running, put up the same type of numbers. Then you consider him number one. Here's the thing. I'll throw this out there. I would hope to see him in another uniform, but Peter, you said I see him possibly signing back with the Cleveland Browns. Here's another twist on top of a twist. There's always layers to everything.
Oh, snap. Okay.
You got Coleman, right, who's a pretty good receiver. Yeah. Young guy, talented. He's going to be around for quite some time. Terrell Pryor.
You love your Josh Gordon. Take me down that road.
Take me down that road. Craziest talent, man.
It's like waiting for Chinese democracy to come out.
Because I was talking about free agency, and I left the show last week, and somebody was like,
that's an out. That's a Guns N' Roses album.
And what happens when it does come out, right?
He's like this. Somebody tweeted me last week, like, Josh Gordon isn't actually free agent. He's still in contract with the Browns. And I'm like, okay, I get it. I'm anticipating that the Browns will let him go. But do the Browns let him go? Because if they bring back Pryor, they got Coleman, and then you line up Pryor one side, Josh Gordon on one side, could be special.
Yeah, I don't
know. Still, you need a quarterback. I'm getting all excited. I don't care what the Browns do. If you can't tell me who your quarterback
is, they trade for Jimmy Garoppolo. They have Gordon and Pryor and Coleman. They run the world in 2017.
They got to find a quarterback.
Man, Josh Gordon once had like 3,000 yards in 2 games. I mean, it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. It was like you keep waiting for that to come back because it was so good. I got to get it again. You know what I mean? But it's not coming back.
It might not.
It could, but it might not. I hope it does reform, but I don't know. At this point, I can't keep waiting for Josh Gordon to come back.
And it's hard to be on his side after this many mistakes.
Yeah, man.
That's exactly what it is.
All right, one more. I'm going to do a couple more of these would you rathers because I like this.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Would you rather, Deshaun Watson as your starting quarterback next year or Brian Hoyer as your starting quarterback
next year?
Hoyer
the Destroyer. Why are you even asking the silly question, Peter Schrager?
Think long term here now. Hoyer.
I want them both. I want Hoyer as the veteran leader, and I want Watson on the bench learning from him for a year. That's what I want.
That might very well happen.
Interesting answer.
And I want him to have a C on their helmet, too. Like, that's how I go.
It depends on what the team is, right?
Yeah. I was just thinking, like, a San Francisco or a team up there in the top 15.
Yeah, you want both. You want the veteran, and you want a younger guy. I mean, they need two, right, if you're talking San Francisco?
Yeah. Okay, how about this? Would you rather have Cutler?
No. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go on. I'm interested. Just say, no, you're off on Cutler.
For the Bears, but maybe for another team. So I jumped you. Maybe for another team.
Okay.
Give me the Andor. For the Bears, yes, of course.
Would you rather have Glennon than Cutler?
I'd rather have...
You'd rather roll the dice and see what Glennon
Stop.
Is.
Stop. You'd rather have Cutler than Glennon.
No, hold on. We were saying this outside. Instead of bringing Mike Glennon and paying a bunch of money, I would much rather the Bears keep Brian Hoyer. Much rather.
Really?
Because I know Brian Hoyer can play. Like, I don't know. I'm not sure Glennon can play, and he's going to be cheaper.
He was crushing it.
100%. Give me Hoyer over Glennon. This Glennon thing, I'm pulling my hair out over.
All right, how about this? If you're the Jets, would you rather have Cutler or Mitch Trubisky?
Cutler. You have two younger guys. You need somebody that's going to go in there and throw just as many interceptions as the guys in recent years.
I already have Hackenberg.
And you need to be on the back pages so I can enjoy my life every morning.
Yeah. Coming into your – you say you already have Hackenberg. Why would you say Cutler?
Well, Can Christian Hackenberg play? This is one of the strangest quarterback situations in the whole league.
It's frustrating.
He doesn't even get a shot? Is he that? How bad could he be in practice?
No, apparently.
What is this?
Apparently, he's like one of these night and day guys where they show him. This is something from someone who would
know. We're not drafting another one in New York. That's what I'm saying.
I hear that.
I think it's
you already did. Go with Hackenberg.
I don't know if they're all in. Like, it's one of these deals where
all in. Give him one snap.
He was a second round pick. He was like the 50th pick.
That's
it's not
a
like
high pick.
Cutler, New York.
I like it too. But Hackenberg, they say practice. He looks like he's Joe Montana one drive, and the next drive, like, literally cannot throw the ball. That's from the reporters that are there.
Reunite with Forte for one last year. Do your thing. Yeah.
Look, if he's Joe Montana for one drive, did you see Fitzpatrick this year? He was not Joe Montana for no drives.
Steve Bono for
one.
Yeah,
try it. He was Jim Druckenmiller. I mean, come on, put him
Nate,
in.
What about you? Cutler to
That's
New York.
So weird.
I don't like Cutler in New York. I don't like him playing for any New York team. I feel like New York, they're waiting for a guy
to
come
pray
in.
On him.
Yeah, they do. They're praying on a guy with his demeanor. And
remember in Jurassic Park, they bring out that little goat on the rope and to lure the T-Rex out? That's the
That's
goat.
That's exactly what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, but the goat doesn't care. He doesn't even know what's going on. It's just like Cutler.
Yeah,
that's just
right.
like Cutler. He's not going to care.
I don't know,
and I'm
That's
it.
Fun.
Yeah, that's true.
Clever girl. Right, I hear it.
Clever girl.
All right,
All right, Kay. Would you rather...
Go on.
Make out with Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber, go on.
I don't have a second. Do you guys have a second?
Ryan Gosling.
You guys know I love Milo, whatever his last name.
Oh yeah,
I didn't want to throw him in there.
I thought it was too close.
I don't know
to
who
home.
This guy is. What's his last name?
Ryan Gosling or Bieber? You got to answer that first.
Neither. I'm not making out either of those gentlemen.
All right, all right. So Kyle, give a little
Gosling's hot.
Milo Vermiglia. IMDb for
first
us.
Of all, is it Milo or Milo? I always thought it was Milo, like the Phantom
Milo. I think it's Milo.
All right, we'll call him Milo. Milo Ventimiglia.
Not as sexy as Milo.
Okay, so let's call it Milo.
Thank
right. you.
I never have celebrity crushes. For some reason, this dude is my celebrity crush.
I can vouch for that. Okay, and you're right. And you said early on from the show This Is Us that you like the guy.
Yes, and then he was on some other show called Gilmore Girls. So I watched
He's on Heroes. He's amazing on
I
Heroes.
I watched an episode of a show that was on like 10 years ago on demand because I have a crush on this guy.
Yes. You went back and looked.
Ooh.
Okay, you have to watch Heroes.
He's like a dad on This Is Us. He's like
All right,
a
here we
perfect
go.
Gentleman.
Kyle.
Yes, he's the hero of Heroes.
He's a perfect human.
I'm going to read his dating page on the website, right? Currently single.
Oh,
relationship. Had been engaged to Jamie Alexander. Don't know who that is.
It's a very attractive blonde actress.
He dated Hayden Panettiere.
Yes.
Dated her. Dated Alexis.
They were in Heroes
Alexis
together.
Bledel
Gilmore,
from Gilmore Girls.
I'm telling you, this is the kind of guy who goes on set and hides your kids, hides your wife. He's taking your girlfriend.
You're going to fall
if
in love
work,
with him on
yes,
set.
Yes, you're going to fall in love with him immediately. Mandy Moore and him will be dating at some point.
You're right. He's kind of like the John Mayer of TV actors. Like,
yes!
He's going to get it. It's just a matter of time. Milo seems to be Milo. He's going to be a guy that the ladies like.
Got to get him on the show.
Do we
I'm
have
sorry,
another,
I'm gonna YouTube wormhole on this female Jamie Alexander at the moment.
Oh, Jamie Alexander is a very, very attractive.
I'm so glad you brought Cortana and your Microsoft Surface to the podcast room today.
She was dating
Peter
Facinelli.
She's from Thor. Peter Facinelli did it when was married to Jenny Garth for a long time. There's a whole Melrose
Never
thing going
saw
here.
It.
So back to Kay and Milo. So yes. Who is he?
Milo is a TV actor. He played Rocky Balboa Jr. in one of the Rocky movies. It was a huge role. Everybody in town auditioned for that.
Including you?
No, I missed that one. I auditioned for Superman and Captain Kirk, but
you
not
made
Rocky.
Me watch Point Break.
Do I look
you
like
guys,
Rocky?
You guys have to watch This Is Us.
I
you made
this.
Me watch Keanu Reeves.
I was
it's
in the
so good.
I heard This Is Us is amazing.
Thank,
but it's a tearjerker. I don't want
to
get all emotional every time I watch it.
It's so good.
I'm in the grocery
I cried at
store.
Logan. I was bawling.
I know, right?
I was sitting
so
there
true.
With my cherry Coke and my whatever I was eating. I was bawling. Like leaving a funeral.
It's Logan is running spears through people, right? And it's emotional?
It's a rated
don't say
R
that to, don't
crazy
ruin it.
Gore.
No
like,
spoiler.
If you're there for
I'm taking
rated
my boys.
R gore.
I like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's good.
I love rated R gore.
It's like leaving a funeral.
Okay.
Yeah.
Love scene with Logan or no?
No love
no.
scene.
Any okay. romance at all?
No romance.
Well, Jean Grey, she's passed away now.
No.
What about that little girl? Is she like you? Is she fierce like you, that yes. little girl?
She is the baddest thing walking. She is literally the baddest thing walking, and I love her.
So
go
now that
anyway,
now that Jackman's dead, what if Milo takes over the role?
Ooh.
It's Milo.
Milo. Milo Logan is the new Logan, and then what we got?
No, okay. I think she's
fangirl over here.
Oh,
I think the young,
Kay would be at
Comic-Con
if that was the case.
I know.
I would be. I'm sure he goes to Comic-Con because of this hero show.
Kay, you got
to
watch Heroes. First season's awesome.
The cheerleaders. is dead.
Yes.
Anyway,
save the cheerleaders. Save the world.
Save the cheerleaders. Save the world.
That'll put a bow on our free agency conversation here.
That's
Jeez,
him.
Louise.
That's the guy.
Who is that?
Save the cheerleaders. Save the world.
Every episode he screams and then he transports.
Yeah. I don't even know what that show is.
That's here.
And then
amazing.
The guy who plays Spock in the Star Trek movies is the villain.
Is the right. villain with the unibrow.
We'll yes. wrap it here with
Zachary
one
Kinto.
More question.
Yes.
Is Hayden Panettiere still married to a Klitschko
yes.
brother?
The Klitschko brother, not Natalie, Vladimir.
Vladimir.
W.
Who's only 17.4 times as big as
That's
she
crazy.
Is.
That's crazy. That's the best.
Let's wrap this with our celebrity crushes. First one that comes to mind.
The girl who plays Wonder Woman. I think it's like Gal Gadot. She's Israeli. I don't know how to pronounce her name.
Wonder Woman. The last Batman
I know who
Superman
you're talking
movie.
About. Go yes. for it.
I used yes. to watch a lot of Baywatch, so any of the above the...
Pamela Anderson! What's your favorite car? A Corvette?
No, what was the brunette one? What was the brunette one?
Alexandra Paul, the short-haired one?
No, I'll think of it.
Go on.
Oh, Yasmin Bleeth.
Yasmin Bleeth.
Yasmin
Bleeth. Yasmin Bleeth is my celebrity crush.
Don't Google her now. She got into some issues. Yeah, I'm not going to say
wrap
that.
It up.
I'm going with it's a toss-up, Holly Berry and J-Lo.
Yeah, real tough. We really,
Nay,
real
it's Sophie's
there.
Choice. It's not a toss-up. Which toss-up. Is it?
I'm going with...
He had to pick.
J-Lo.
Oh,
she could
J-Lo.
Dance. She could
Selena
dance.
Era?
I'm talking about, yeah, thick J-Lo.
Hey, where can you download our
Big
podcast?
Big booty J-Lo.
Where can we download our podcast?
You can download it at NFL.com.
Dreaming about you and me.
We'll
She's singing about
you,
guys.
Yeah, thank you.
On
backslash
I just saw a headline that said,
Joy Free Agency.
Yasmin Bleeth photographed in public for the first time in years.
Yeah.
Bye.